It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes from Goodyear, Arizona. Hoynesy, big day out in camp yesterday, the first official workouts for the full squad. And Stephen Vogt had a chance to give his first speech as the manager in front of the entire traveling party there. What were you able to sort of glean from what went down after Vogt gave his speech?
Yeah, I think it went over well, Joe. I was talking to Logan Allen. He said he really got the locker room fired up with the speech. And, you know, Vogt was talking about this, you know, being, you know, kind of a fresh page, you know, turn the page on last season. And this is a fresh opportunity, a new day, and a new start. For a lot of the players in that locker room that may have, been looked at one way by the old staff. Now they have a fresh, more than a fresh pair of eyes on them, but they've got a chance to do something and, take advantage of the opportunity. So I think it was more about opportunity and fresh starts. And that kind of makes sense with the new season coming up.
Yeah. When that hierarchy of, the depth chart sort of doesn't get thrown out the window, because obviously your veteran guys and your established guys are going to be there. But for some guys who are trying to win jobs or even make the opening day roster, they've got to be excited about this. A guy like Tyler Freeman has to be looking at this as, I've got to go, just all out in every drill and show these guys that, I'm a big league, player right now. And he spent the year up and down, and what's, any other guys besides Freeman that you can identify as really being able to take advantage of that new opportunity, that fresh start?
Oh, yeah, Joe, there's a roster full of them. A guy like Brian Rocchio, really didn't get that much of a look last season in the big leagues, had a great Triple-A season, but, he's competing for the shortstop job. And like you said, Tyler Freeman has really got an opportunity to put his best foot forward. Gabriel Arias, that whole competition at shortstop, all those guys, have a fresh set of eyes on them, a fresh, set of evaluators on them. And it's up to them now to take advantage of that. New guys in camp, Davison De Los Santos, Kyle Manzardo, guys like that, they're starting fresh, they're right. There's no preconceived, notion about them. So they've got a chance to come into camp here and really kind of really make an imprint.
Yeah, we'll get to De Los Santos here in a minute, but there's guys on the non-roster invitees as well. I'm thinking about a guy like a Tyler Zuber who, had found some success elsewhere, and now he's trying to win a job in the bullpen. Is that a guy who might get a longer look or get a conversation where they say, hey, look, if you start the season off in AAA, we're going to need you at some point?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that bullpen's going to be tough to crack, I think, Joe. You know, they've got a lot of, you know, they've got a lot of guys that have pitched there for 2 or 3 years, and it's not like they're all veterans either. You know, it's not like they're on the downside of their careers. So I think the bullpen is going to be a tough spot to win a job in. But yet, you know, you never get by with 12 or 13 pitchers in a full season. You're going to need, you know, they used what, 12 starters last year. So you're going to need some guys that are, you know, some guys that are flexible, that can go up and down, that have the options to go up and down between AAA and the big leagues.
Well, speaking of a veteran, there was a veteran move that was pulled after the speech, as the players all filtered out onto the backfields there to start their stretching and running the first full squad workout yesterday. Carlos Carrasco approached Joe Hoynsey, and why don't you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, Joe, I was struggling to take a video of the first, you know, they're all the players were you know, gathering to start the workout, and I was kind of like, you know, trying to get in position to take a video of it. And Carlos comes up, he goes, "I'll help you out." And he grabs the phone and, you know, turns it on and just walks in and out of, you know, like the 60 players in camp, you know, saying, you know, this, yeah, first day workouts, you know, what, how do you guys feel? You know, he's talking in Spanish and English, and, you know, it was pretty cool. And it was like, you know, he was walking through the crowd. So it was a good moment. It surprised me.
Yeah, the video was fun. You know, he goes right up to Eli Morgan, Miles Straw, Gavin Williams was there working on his golf swing a little bit. So, you know, you got to see a little bit closer than some of the access that the reporters are given. They kind of have to stand off to the side. They can't get right up on the field, but Cookie grabbed the phone and just went to town. I think more of us should give our phones to the players to see what should come of it. What do you think, Lindsay?
Yeah, and he held it vertical too, Joe. He knew how to, to hold it vertical. He knew how to turn it off and on. And he, you know, we got to do it in 60 seconds. I think he did it like in 45, 50 seconds. He came in under the wire too. You know, I think Carlos has a future here.
Yeah, that's his next career is going to be commentary at some point, maybe on TV for somebody. Would love to see him do that. So then, you know, they go through their stretching and their running. They take some infield, and you were able to watch some batting practice, you know, of just live at bats. What did you see from Shane Bieber?
Yeah, Bieber looked good. You know, it's always, pitchers are always ahead of the hitters now. You know, that's a trite saying, but at this point of spring training, you know, pitchers just kind of overmatch the hitters, unless, you know, they really want to let the hitters hit. But you know, it looked like Bobby Bieber, Logan Allen, they really threw well yesterday, I thought. And you know, they're you know, they look they I was talking to Allen. He said that's about his third live BP since he's been here. You know, Bieber looked really sharp. So those guys, you know, have a little bit of an edge over the hitters right now. I don't think the hitters are real crazy about going in there and facing full speed, you know, guys throwing 90, 95 miles an hour quite yet.
Right, and some of the veteran guys just go up there and they stand there and they track. They don't even swing sometimes, or you know, the first couple of at bats they don't swing, and you know, just to get their timing and tracking pitches that way. Did you see a lot of breaking stuff or off speed stuff out of any of these guys, or are we leaning a little more fastballs early in camp right now?
It looked like Bieber was throwing all his pitches to me. You know, I thought he was throwing everything. I couldn't tell, and Bobby was throwing hard, but I thought he was throwing all his stuff too. So those are the two guys I kind of looked at. You know, Joe, it's funny that you should say that some guys just track pitches. You know, some of the veterans. I remember in Winter Haven when Eddie Murray was with the club, like for the first week he wouldn't even get in the cage. He would just stand behind the cage and look at pitches, and he would say, there shall be no wine before it's time.
Yeah, that's a classic line from Eddie Murray. I can just imagine. I mean, but Eddie Murray, you know, Hall of Famer, he doesn't have to get in there
That's
and
right.
swings or anything like that. I'm thinking you would know if Bieber was using his complete arsenal, if he was throwing all of his pitches, if if David Fry, as he's facing him, is walking away cursing out loud because he threw something filthy. Because I think the level of curse words might go up if Bieber's got guys out on their front foot or swinging and missing at balls in the dirt. We saw, like you mentioned, Tanner Bibee. He looked good, looked healthy, no issues with his hip at all. I think he's back in camp at full go, right?
Oh yeah, and I think we talked to him at what a Guards Fest, and he said he was healthy. He said he was he felt great. Like 2 weeks after the season, he was ready to go. So yeah, and there's no restrictions on him.
All right, I want to remind our listeners, if you want to get updates from Hoynsey out in Arizona, sent directly to your phone, join Subtext, our subscription texting service. It's $3.99 a month. You can log on to cleveland.com/subtext or go to send a text message to 216-208-4346 to sign up there. Hoynsey, big question, big what's going on with Davis and De Los Santos. You spoke to Stephen Vogt. What's where is he getting the majority of his reps right now in the field?
Yeah, Joe, you had mentioned that you had asked if he was working out in the outfield, and it turns out he's been working out in right field and left field since early January. So, he came out here early. He's obviously De Los Santos is a Rule 5 guy they picked up from Arizona. And he's what a corner infielder by trade, but he's trying to win a spot in the outfield or help them out in the outfield. And Vogt has been very impressed with him. He says he moves well. He's got a good arm. And the biggest thing they said, and this was Vogt and Mike Chernoff, the general manager, said the power is real. This is a guy that. He's 20 years old and hit 20 home runs at Double A last year. They still have to kind of figure out where he plays and if he fits on the roster. But it looks like they went after him to find power, and they've got the power. Now they just got to find a spot on the roster for him.
Yeah, how does his move to right field sort of change things with the roster and the way that, at least from our perspective, we're thinking about it being configured? Does that mean Ramon Laureano and De Los Santos maybe make up the right field tandem? Does that push somebody else to another spot, or can he be a fifth guy and maybe DH a little bit? Where do you think he fits when they put that roster together?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe. I think he can play a little right field. He can play, he can back up Jose Ramirez at third. He can DH. He can play first base. The more versatile you can be, the better chances you have of making a ball club. And obviously, if he doesn't make the club, if they don't keep him on the roster, they've got to ch turn him, give Arizona a chance to take him back. So, this is a big spring for him. But I like what Vogt said. He said, "Look it, he said there's no pressure on you. You've got a great chance here to make a club. And if you don't, you go back to your old club. And there's no pressure on you. So just go out and kind of put your best foot forward."
Yeah, and that's a great message to send. It clears his head and gets him to go out there. I'm waiting for the first video of him hitting one of those airplanes out in the outfield there at the hitting some Framnel type shots in batting practice. So we'll wait for that. As far as we're sort of heading towards the weekend, and Saturday is the first game, the first Cactus League game, always against the Reds there at Goodyear Ballpark. What have you heard about that game and the details there?
Yeah, Joe. They're not ready to name a starting pitcher. At least Cleveland isn't. They're going to go through these bullpen sessions. I mean, these batting practice sessions right now. They started yesterday. They'll continue today and tomorrow. And then it sounded like Stephen Vogt will name a starter in the next couple days. I don't think it's going to be Bieber or Tristan McKenzie. I don't think it's going to be one of those the main starters. I think it'd probably be a guy, you know, kind of a depth guy, maybe Hunter Gaddis, something like that, you know, a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you threw Gaddis out there as a name. That's maybe a guy who they're thinking about for sure. It all depends on, you know, the timing of things, and you know, this isn't a guy who they're going to think is going to go very deep into you know, the start. It's probably one inning each for a lot of these guys, unless they only throw a few pitches. But it doesn't carry the weight as much as it does for Bieber, you know, in terms of his what fifth consecutive opening day start if he gets to that point in the regular season.
Oh yeah, and they, you know, I'm sure they want to kind of ease Bieber and McKenzie into this thing. You know, they're not gonna be coming out and starting the Cactus League opener, and you know, so usually if you went back and checked who started the games, the first Cactus League games for Cleveland over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, I think you'd be surprised. You know, they aren't the Cy, they don't have the Cy Young pedigree to, you know, not, no knocks, but, you know, I think they just, it's a placeholder, basically.
You mean Yeffrey Rodriguez wasn't
Yeah,
a guy that
Jeffrey,
you
that's the guy I was
that's
thinking of.
exactly who I was thinking of when you were describing that. So way to go, Hoynesy. Hey, speaking of guys going out there and playing hard and playing the right way, Josh Naylor you know, did something that Stephen Vogt took notice of in the first workout. What did Stephen Vogt say about Naylor?
Yeah, Naylor, I think he must have been fired up from Vogt's speech, because during one of the infield drills, he was diving for a, you know, a ground ball, and came up, his whole jersey or sweatshirt or whatever he was wearing was covered with dirt. You know, like the first day of spring training, the first full squad workout, you know, Josh Naylor down and dirty, you know, diving around. And you know, Vogt loved it. He was saying, you know, I love to watch this guy play. You know, he goes all out the minute he steps on the field or in the gym. You know, he's all, you know, he's that, that's the way he is. And I wanted to ask him if he was prepared to get headbutted, but I didn't. You know, I figured I'd save that for another day.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of time to talk about headbutts down the road, and you know, Vogt might be giving out his own headbutts later on this season. Who knows? It could be the case. The funny thing about Naylor, he goes out and you see all these guys out there in the new batting practice jerseys and the uniforms, that everybody's wearing the new red hat and the new Nike jerseys, and you know, good, bad, or indifferent, people have their thoughts on those. Josh Naylor's out there with a stocking cap and a cutoff sweatshirt, and you're telling me he's out there diving in the dirt. You know, it can't be warm enough, you know, or it can't be cold enough for him to need a sweatshirt out there.
No, yeah, and he's still got I don't think so. That's just his look, I think, you know.
He's just built differently, I think.
Yeah, and you should have seen, Joe, I know you were talking about the some of Kai Correa's new infield drills, and this was one of them. That's when it happened. It's this weird drill that the infielders line up between the first base foul line and the dugout fence. You know, they're about level with first base, and there's the pitching machine back at home plate, and you know, Travis Fryman is feeding fa you know fat you know shooting fastballs at him, baseballs at these guys, and they're, you know, they're kind of moving. You know, they catch one hoppers, they catch line drives, and they get closer and closer to the machine. It's
Oh.
a heck of a drill. I mean, you got to pay attention, or you're going to catch one right between the eyes.
That would be interesting to see, to just to follow Correa's different drills and different things that he's been doing, and get the reaction of the infielders you know, as they're progressing through camp right now, because obviously it's something a lot of them have seen before coming up with Correa when he was in the organization before. But you know, he's known for having developed all these drills, and it's very interesting to hear that, you know, hear you describe what one of these drills looked like. So a lot of fun there. The big news, I don't know if it was big news in camp. The clubhouse crowned a chess champion on Tuesday, Hoynesy. Why don't you tell us, who took home the crown?
Yeah, Stephen Kwan, won the chess competition. Won a nice what chunk of change for which
For the
organization did
Cleveland
he win?
Metropolitan School District's chess club. So
Yeah,
there
I
was a
think.
$10,000 pot as for this Slug Champs chess tournament that was set up by this chess.com, and eight Guardians players participated. Kwan went 8-1-1 in the competition, and he beat his teammates like Will Brennan and Tristan McKenzie. And he takes home the lion's share of that charity money to be distributed to the Cleveland Metropolitan School District's chess club, which I think is pretty outstanding. That's going to fund those guys being able to go to chess competitions and continue the relationship between the Guardians and the chess club there, I believe at John Marshall and other schools. So a lot of fun out there at camp. A good way to break things up as as spring training tends to get a little monotonous. Looking forward to a competition like that is something the guys can definitely do. All right, Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll have more from you in Arizona as the week progresses, and we'll check back in with you tomorrow.
Good deal, Joe.